Last night, after dinner, Brother John Chapman told me that Brother Mahan used to tell him in preaching school that if you ever got nervous while preaching, to just slow down. Most of the time, I try to keep messages to about 30 minutes, so I feel as though I must warn you right up front, this could take a while. I've heard it said before by men who were much wiser than I that you really can't enter into the responsibility of being a parent until you become a parent. And I agree with that. And I've also come to know in the past year that you truly cannot enter into the awesome responsibility of being a pastor until you become one. And I thank God for you pastors who faithfully preach, and especially you, Brother Maurice. If you would turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I suppose there's no passage of Scripture that I love more than the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. This wonderful and amazing intercessory prayer from Christ to the Father is sure to bless every elect child of God as they read Christ's words concerning them. He's talking about me in this wonderful chapter. Every time I read it or preach it, I'm refreshed, encouraged, blessed. And as rich as the words out throughout this passage, I had never really seen the beauty in the last two verses. These two verses that we have before us present an outline of seven things that I want to give you quickly that can be clearly seen, but only if God gives you eyes to see. God's got to give us eyes to see. Now, our Lord and Savior addresses His Heavenly Father and our great God in verse 25, and He opens with these three words, O righteous Father. That's a good way to address our great God, isn't it? O righteous Father. He's holy. He's a holy God. He's righteous, so much holy and righteous that they're a part of His name. O righteous Father, the Lord Jesus says. He has made Himself a caring and loving Father to us. But this is God's Son addressing Him. And He calls Him righteous Father. That's the first thing I want you to see. Oh, God is righteous. That's not a hard thing to say. But child of God, it's not our nature to believe that God's righteous, not for a second. God's got to reveal to us. We got to have a divine intervention. Amen. Men are ignorant of God's righteousness. This is why men go about to establish their own righteousness. That's what Paul said in Romans 10. He said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to what? Establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Men would not endeavor to establish their own righteousness if they were not ignorant of God's. How can I be ignorant concerning God's righteousness? The answer is just what I just read. Going about to establish my own. That's an ignorant path to go. But not submitting to God's righteousness, trying to establish my own. And yet that's what men and women do all the days of their life, unless God intervenes. I'm really rebelling against the Word of God when I go about to establish my own. I'm shaking my fist at God's righteousness. I'm saying in my heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. You see, man by nature wants to have something to do with his own righteousness. He wants to contribute somehow or another to his own salvation. My friends, it only makes me ignorant. It only makes me ignorant. Because God is righteous, and to be reconciled to Him, I must be as righteous as He is. And the Scripture says that there's none righteous, not a one. Oh, that puts me in a dilemma. The only way I can be as righteous as He is to submit to His righteousness, which is submitting to Christ. Who is God's righteousness? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's righteousness. Now, there are many that claim to believe that God and His Son are righteous, but they never submit. Remember when God sent Moses to Pharaoh with the message of, "Let my people go." You know the story well. Pharaoh refused, and when he did, God sent 10 horrible plagues upon the Egyptians. If Pharaoh had let God's people go in the beginning, after the first one, there'd only been one plague. But there were 10. If he'd heeded God's word, only been one. And Romans 9 tells us, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." So then it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, "Even for this same purpose I've raised thee up, that I might show what? My power in thee. And that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Therefore, the summation is, he hath mercy on whom he'll have mercy. And whom he will, he hardeneth. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And God sent these 10 horrific plagues. And each time, Pharaoh hardened his heart more. Each time in rebellion and obstinance, he said, "No, I will not let them go. Absolutely not." And each time mercy was shown to God's people, but wrath was shown to the Egyptians. What a God. God sent the plague of blood, the plague of frogs, the plague of lice, the plague of flies, the plague of beasts, the plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, the plague of darkness, and the plague of death on the firstborn. And this is amazing. Look at it sometime. I won't have you turn there, but in Exodus chapter 9, verse 27, Pharaoh says these words after the seventh plague. The plague of hail. It says, "Pharaoh sinned and called for Moses and Aaron, and he said unto them, I have sinned this time." Duh. He says, "The Lord is righteous." No kidding. And I and my people are wicked. I couldn't believe that when I read it. And you know what? Moses wasn't a bit fooled by it. In verse 30 of that same chapter, Moses says, "But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God." That's what he said. And then Just four verses after that, in verse 34 of the same chapter again, the scriptures tells us plainly what happened. Now listen to this. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. Oh, what a picture here of me before God saved me by his grace. No matter how many times Pharaoh was told, no matter how many times God showed him, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. And so it is with those who will not bow to Christ. Each time they resist, they're hardened more, unless God intervene. But one day, my friend, Scripture says that every knee will bow, and that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is righteous. He's just. He's holy. And Lord of all, as my dear brother just preached. Lord of all. For some, it'll be too late. Oh, that God might show sinners now, Brother Bruce, right now. Oh, that he might show them now their unrighteousness and cause them to submit to Christ and his word. Psalm 7:9 says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Psalm 11:7, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright." Psalm 116:5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." He delights to show mercy. It gives him pleasure to show mercy. What a God we have. What a God we have. Psalm 129 verse 4, "The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked." Psalm 145:17, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." Okay, the second thing. In verse 25, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee." And that's my second point. The world hath not known God. If Christ died for the whole world, my dear friends, then the whole world would love him and know him. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus spake unto them again, saying, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Who is the light of life? That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation, Christ said, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. I tell you, we're a mess. Brother Todd told me last night, he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, "I went to the doctor the other day, and he said, my doctor was a fellow you went to high school with." And he told me the name. I said, "Yeah, I did." And he goes, "You know what?" He said, "He couldn't believe it when I told him you were a preacher." And he said, "He'd give me your cell phone number. He'd give me his cell phone number." I said, "What? He didn't believe you?" And to be quite honest with you, I can't believe he's a doctor. But the point I'm trying to make is that it doesn't surprise me that he thinks that I wouldn't be a preacher. I never did anything that would make anyone think there was anything good in me. And we are yet preachers. We're sinners in need of the grace of God. I tell the people there at home all the time, don't get your eyes on me. I'll let you down every time. I need grace. I need mercy. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Look back in verse 3 of chapter 17 with me to see the importance of this. John 17:3, and this is life eternal. You want to know what life eternal is? Here it is. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And here in our text, our Lord plainly says, the world hath not known thee. They hadn't known. Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, David wrote, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. Luke 24:16 says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Who held their sight? Same one said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. The world does not know Christ. For if the world had known God, they would have known the one he sent. Well, now, brother, people need to see Christ in you. People didn't see Christ in Christ, or they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, didn't they say one day, here's the God man in front of them, doing wonderful works, healing the sick. And they said, he told them, he said, I came down from heaven. And you know what they said? They said, is this the same Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he said he come down from heaven? You'll never understand this with your natural mind. God's got to give you a heart to believe it. Salvation's of the Lord, my dear friends. Christ said in Matthew 11, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And that's my third point. Only Christ knows his righteous Father. Look at it. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. Christ knows the Father. The Father knows the Son. And he, to whomsoever he reveals. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. If you've seen the Son, my dear friends, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He's before all things. And by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, then in all things, as our brother preached, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, that all fullness dwell. When God created the heavens and the earth, who was with him? Well, I didn't know anybody was with him. Well, why did he say, let us make man in our own image? Father and the Son, boy, they know each other. so well. The fourth thing, Christ reveals the gospel to his elect. Still in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. These have known. Who are these? These have known that thou hast sent me. Then in Matthew 11:27, Christ says, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever, as we read, the Son will reveal. Now look back at verse 9 of chapter 17. I pray for them. These, them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. These, they, them. God's sheep. God's people. God's elect. Are you one of God's people? If you're looking to Christ and him alone, I'd say there's a good chance you are. Look back at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now listen, if God loved Christ before the foundation of the world, and God chose us and gave us to Christ before the foundation of the world, then we must conclude that God loved the ones that Christ gave him before the foundation of the world. And you know what he said, Bob? I won't lose a one. Not a one. Not a one. Fifth thing, Christ declares unto us, and he will continue to teach us the truth about himself. And I have declared unto, verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. We're sick in sin, dear friends. We have a disease that has only one cure. There's only one physician who knows the cure and how to administer it. And he, the physician, is himself the cure. This is the gospel of God. The great physician is the cure. Mark 2:16-17. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are there any sick here today? Are there any sinners here today? Here's the cure. Here's the cure. When speaking of the whole or the well in this verse, Christ is saying those that are well in their own sight. For we're all sick, every man born of woman. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone astray. They've all gone their own way. Those who in self-righteousness see themselves whole without need. And the three words that stick out like a flash of neon light to me in this verse is have no need. Do you have a need? I have a desperate need. And I didn't know it till God showed me. They that are whole, righteous in their own eyes, have no need of the physician. No need. Christ is the great physician. You know that. And God is going to make sure that his people are going to see their disease. Well, you wouldn't go to the doctor if you weren't sick. God's going to show you you're sick and then send you to his doctor, the great physician. This isn't an ordinary decision, physician. And our disease, my friends, is sin. Sin is not what we do. Sin is what we are. I've heard that for a long time, and I think maybe I'm just beginning to enter into it. The Lord teaches us that we're sick, and therefore we have great need. He didn't come to call the righteous, those that are well in their own minds. He came to call sinners, the sick, to repentance. He's the great shepherd. We're lost sheep. Ezekiel 34, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. In the same chapter of Ezekiel 34, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Friends, we live in cloudy and dark days. These are truly cloudy and dark days in which we live. But did you hear what he said? He finds his sheep every time. Never failed once. Said I wouldn't lose a one. Rejoice, those that are his. I'll tell you what, it's a joyful thought. So much so that the Lord himself said in Luke 15, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends. He calls his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. I found my sheep, which was lost. I found my sheep. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yes. Sixth thing, and I'm about done. The love God has for Christ, listen, he also has for me. Amen. Verse 26, that's what he says. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. This is too good to make up. Look back at verse 6, chapter 17. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. My, thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Keeping God's word, my friends, not the cause. We don't straighten up. People say, straighten up and fly right. Well, give me something I can do. That's not the cause. We keep God's word because God gave us to Christ. God gave Christ to us. That's right. Look back at verse 8. I'm going to wear you out. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Isaiah 43, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Me? Honorable? And I've loved thee. Oh, that's how I'm honorable. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Which came first, dear friends, our honor or the fact that we were precious in his sight? We were made honorable because we were precious in his sight. Of course, that's it. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn thee. Remember a message Brother Maurice preached one time. He said, that's a bed you can stretch out on. That's a blanket big enough to cover yourself up in. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, now in closing, the seventh point is the title of the sermon. Christ is mine. Christ is mine. Verse 26 again. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And notice those last four words. And I in them. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, one day the Lord appeared unto his disciples, and old Thomas was gone. And they told old Thomas about it, and he said, well, I'm just going to tell you right now. Thomas must have been from Missouri, the show me state. He said, except I see his hands, except I see the print of the nails in his hands, and I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days went by, his disciples were with Thomas. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, he stood in the midst and he said, peace be unto you. And he looked at Thomas. Oh my, can you imagine? The Lord of glory, the God of heaven and earth, looking into Thomas's eyes. And you know what he said? He didn't rebuke him. He didn't throw him out to the wolves. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Yes.
You know what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now here's mine and your hope. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Christ is mine. This is a personal thing. He may be yours, but that'll do me no good. He must be mine. He must be my Savior. If I'm to be saved, why, he's my prophet. He's my priest. He's my king. He's my Lord and my God. He's my everything, my all and in all. He's my advocate with the Father. He's my city of refuge. He's my ark. Oh, that ain't just Noah's ark. That's my ark too. It protects me from the wrath and justice of God. He's my fiery serpent upon that pole. And I look to Him, I live. He's my lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's my rock that springs forth living water. He's my hiding place. He's my rock of ages. Christ is mine.
Amen.
Is He yours? I trust He is. Don't believe you'd be here if you wasn't looking to Him. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Christ told the woman at the well, He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him. In him. A well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.